Welcome to A Woman's Brew, where women talk about beer. From golden shores to golden pours, today's lager series finds us exploring the new hotness, West Coast Pilsners. I'm Joanne, and this is Tori.
Hello, hello.
And we're two beer-loving women on a mission to get more people drinking and talking about great beer. Come join us. Now, I feel like some people might be like, why are you doing this like brand new beer style when you haven't done the other ones, Joanne and Tori? Well, because we want to.
Is the answer to that. To be fair, I was waiting for like what you were going to say because I was like, well, that is, I was like, what, like, why are we doing it other than because we want to? And I was waiting for you to give like a really good education or like reason. And then you were like, because we want to.
And because we've got some, to be quite honest with you, listeners, we've been planning these, you know, we've been thinking about what we want, we've been gathering beers, and then we run out of time to record it. So we've got these, let's drink them. Let's stop messing about. West Coast Pilsners seem to be, as we said in the introduction, the new hotness. On Hop Culture's blog, they had a What's Hot for 24 list. West Coast Pilsners was on it.
Oh, see, I didn't even know. So I just kind of, like, I've had, like, a few. So I've had one that we're going to have, the first one that we're going to have, I've had before. And I've definitely had others before, and I never really like thought about it. And it wasn't until you were like, "These are the new hotness," that I was like, "Are they?" Like, yeah, I didn't even know that they were. And then you were like, "They're on the list. They're a new hotness." And I was like, "Oh wow!" So yeah, just worked out that way.
I don't believe I've had one. So I mean, that's not a big surprise for me, is it? Let's be real.
You definitely, it's not a surprise. I definitely have.
You know, hoppy things are not the things that I tend to gravitate to generally, but you know, so it's not a surprise I haven't had one. But you know, I'm open-minded. I try all the things. Happy to do it. Should we crack the first one before we start getting talking?
Yeah, sounds good. I mean, this is properly like, I am well and truly leaving all of this up to you. I did no fun facts. I did no fun facts. I did nothing because I was just like, I don't know. Yeah. It's been a week. I'm ready for a beer.
Let's do it. Let's crack it. Right, so our first one is from Siren. It's called Ricochet. It's a West Coast Pilsner. Crisp, snappy Pilsner inspired by the refreshing lagers being produced in California. It's a beer of two halves. The hot side starts in a traditional style with noble hops. Oh, that's interesting, as we will find out when I start talking about it. Cold side breaks the rules with Simcoe, Citra and Nelson Sauvin, injecting an array of beautiful aromas.
As you're going and reading it and looking down, I'm doing like lovely hand modelling. Just because I was like, I don't, my brain can't cope with reading anything today, but I can hand model it.
It is 5.7%. Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah,
crack
that's a lot.
That open, you can smell it straight away. It smells amazing. So it's not 100% clear, this beer.
I'll be with you in a moment.
which you would expect from a lager. Obviously this is a West Coast Pilsner, so
I'm gonna need to get my Not Today Satan coaster to put underneath to stop any more drippage.
It had a nice foamy head. Beautiful. I can like that. Nelson is taking over the aroma. Nice bit of citrus.
Yeah.
From our Citra.
I agree. I'm back with you now. I'm back in the room.
It is very fragrant.
For me, it's like, I think to be fair, for me, it's just like, it smells like beer all over the place now. Yeah. So I'm trying to just take it
in. You think, so this is, we're on a lager episode, right? This is not the kind of aroma that you'd expect from a lager at all. It is
sure
hops
isn't.
In your face. All right, I'm going to drink it.
Surprisingly, like, so there's like a bit, so the bitterness is obviously very, very noticeable, as you'd probably expect from anything that has West Coast in it. Like, when you see West Coast in the name, I think you probably assume bitterness. And it's definitely there, but like I almost felt like it wasn't, like the way it's balanced out is quite nice. But like if somebody handed me some of this, I probably wouldn't like, and say like guess the style, I probably wouldn't guess like I wouldn't guess Pilsner.
No, absolutely not. There's a lot of bitterness in there for me. But I can feel that kind of lager presence, right? Where it's like the bitterness is there, but there's also this kind of almost like softness, not in like an IPA type way, but yeah, like kind of maybe soft crispness that you get from a lager. Interesting.
I was going to say, like, I think the three words that shout at me the most from when I drink this beer, it is bitterness first, like, is number one. Yeah. And then I say, like, light was, like, the word that I wanted to, like, that materialized in my head quickest is, like, light, which I think kind of goes, like, when you're saying that, like, softness to it. I feel like when your interpretation of it that way, I just kind of go light.
Yeah.
And then, like, a citrus, like, a very mild citrus element to it. And there's almost, like, a little bit of, like, herbal notes for me coming through.
Interesting. So shall we talk West Coast Pils?
Yes, please, let's do.
Okay, so here's the thing, listeners, about West Coast Pils. Currently, when we're looking at air quotes beer styles, it's not an official beer style, not yet anyway. It is on neither the BJCP list nor the Brewers Association list. I did find a very interesting article, which I will link in the show notes, from Craft Beer and Brewing about West Coast Pilsners that was written back in October. So it's quite a up-to-date article, as things go. And that said that the original West Coast Pilsner was probably brewed by Highland Park Brewery, who are from Los Angeles. Now, this was in 2016. So that's a fair while ago. But how they first made it is they had a cask and they needed to do, like, something interesting in the cask. So they decided to do a 50-50 blend of a West Coast IPA and a Pilsner.
That's interesting to me, full stop, in the sense of, right, like, before you even go on, what's interesting to me is the fact that you mentioned cat. Like, not even the mixing. Like, that is a separate, that's the next, wow, that's interesting. The first interesting was the cask element of it, because obviously in the US, cask isn't really as, like, common. And I think that there's been this really, like, recently, from my last trip back over Christmas, I feel like I've noticed more breweries are doing, like, cask beers. It really, especially because they're making very, like, trad British style in cask, which is just, like, there's been a whole research. I read an article somewhere that was talking about this resurgence of, like, cask, but, like, in the US. But the fact that you're saying, like, 2016 and they had a cask to feel like, that's not at all what my brain would think.
I didn't know if it was, like, an actual cask or whether they're just calling the receptacle they were putting the stuff in a cask. Like, I don't know if it's, you know, if it was then cask dispense. So I have questions about that, but it doesn't actually explain it in the article. So
fair enough, but that was the first surprising thing. And then the choice to blend the two is also interesting. And
they said it was amazing. So they then were like, well, this is cool. Like, can we make this an actual beer? And they did. And it became called Timbo Pils. And then, like, you know, other brewers brewed it, like, tasted it, and was like, cool, we want to make one of those. The current popularity of the style is attributed to the rise of Italian Pilsners and cold IPAs, because they're that, like, they're slightly more hop forward, they're crisper, they're lighter. So, you know, this is just another one in that kind of group of beers that are currently very popular.
I felt like last year was the cold IPA year.
And they are saying that this is the year of the West Coast Pils now. We shall see. So it's interesting because it has a clean lager base, possibly. And again, there's no style guidelines for this. And brewers are going to brew. They'll do what they like. So there is, like, a whole element about, like, what ingredients do go into it. Like, how do you do this? Currently, however you like is the answer to that. it maybe should have. Like, I'm not going to put any like absolutes on this because people will do what they want to do. People are doing what they want to do. It should maybe have like a clean lager base. So maybe Pilsner malt, but you could put something else in there. Like, you know, so this, I think this one might have, because it says it's a snappy Pilsner. So I reckon that may well have been like a Pilsner malt base. But it's because of that clean malt base, it's a really good base for hop character. So that, you know, when we open that can and we got all of that loveliness, like that is being conveyed because it's got a nice kind of, not neutral, but like a simple, clean base. And when we're describing this beer, it is easier to say what it is not. So it's not as bitter or strong in alcohol as a West Coast IPA.
I think that's fair.
It is not a noble hop showcase like German Pilsner can be. It has a more intense hop aroma. Can contest to that.
I would agree, yeah.
And it has a more intense hop flavour and hop bitterness. Yes, I would agree with that. Than, say, an American lager. Definitely. It is more highly dry hopped than other hoppy lagers. Because obviously we're going for that West Coast. And West Coast is all about them, their hops. Someone described it as all the IPA without the alcohol, but it's also a lager.
And who's described it as that?
Some brewer. And I was like, that doesn't clear that up, sir.
All the IPA without the alcohol. This one's 5 points. Yeah, it is a lager because it's called. I know that I say all the time, like, oh, 6%, it feels like my new session levels and all that. And I stand by that comment. But, like, I wouldn't say, like, 5.7% is all the IPA and none of the alcohol.
From what I've seen, they tend to be around 4.8. So this one might be a bit of an anomaly that it's higher in alcohol. Yeah.
But even we're not talking about like when if someone was making that comment, I'd expect it to be like sub 4% to make that type of comment and to be like, oh, the IPA and not the alcohol. It's a lager.
A lot of the lagers that we've had are that kind of can be that kind of alcohol level as well. So it depends on the
Yeah. Way. Yeah.
But anyway, when I read that quote, I was just like, cool, cool, cool. That just gives more questions like when we were doing Keller Beer, real. So once again, we're not answering any questions.
But I want to make it clear.
No further questions.
I will be really clear though. I still maintain that I think Keller Beer is my spirit beer. This is not my spirit beer. I have had requests of, can you make a T-shirt that says Keller Beer is my spirit beer?
Nice. Let's pause on what I'm speaking about there because. Otherwise, I'm going to tell you all the things before we get through the beers. So I'll pause for a minute. Let's have a talk about this beer, shall we?
Sure. I still don't really agree with that man's quote, and it's just sticking in my head.
I think this one leans very heavily on the West Coast more than the Pilsner.
Agree.
I think it's an interesting choice of hops. Because I think if I think West Coast...
I don't think Nelson.
Yeah, I don't think Nelson. That's my sticking point with this one. I like it. But if I'm thinking West Coast, I don't think Nelson.
Although I feel like that Nelson brings that like dryness to it.
Yeah,
which is maybe what brings almost a little bit of that like... Like, I feel like it helps bring some of that like cleanness to the flavour. Like, even though there's that bitterness.
Yeah, I see what you mean there. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, it's just not what I would expect. But again, when I've read through this article, like other bits about West Coast Pilsners, you can kind of chuck in whatever hops you want, and it's generally American, Australian, New Zealand, like those really punchy ones, because you want that, like a West Coast is punchy, so you want punchy hop notes.
Yeah, to be fair, like, obviously I've had some West Coast Pilsners before, but I also think, like, my thought process would be, like, it's a more bitter, like, more hoppy bitter
Pilsner. And that I do think it is that. I think, yeah, I think what throws you off when you, if you weren't drinking it yet and you were just reading it, I think the Nelson would probably be the one that is the thing that throws you off the most. And I think in terms of like what you're expecting and flavor wise that potentially is the thing that is not what you're expecting the most out of it. But yeah, I obviously I don't massively love like massively bitter beers, so you know, these are all kind of hit. It's hard because I find like West Coast style in general, whether it be IPA, pale ale or whatever, like for me it's really dependent on just how like aggressive that bitterness is and how it's balanced out, like what the flavors are balanced out with. And I think for this one it is quite heavily bitter, but it's easy enough to drink because there's that dry, I think there's that dryness there that really helps it along.
Because I suppose the thing about a West Coast as well is that with that bitterness, when I find a West Coast that I like, the thing I like about it is you've got that bitterness, but you've also got that like malt sweet backbone that balances it. And that's what I really like about it. Obviously, you're not going to get that in a Pilsner because it's got that much lighter malt base. But that does make it very dry on the finish. So then obviously you want to drink a bit more.
Yeah, and I do think like the more I'm drinking it, obviously I'm sort of like a glass down now, but the more I'm drinking it, the more that bitterness kind of does mellow out. But I find that that's the case with most West Coasts. Like I go into starting one, like when we did the Oregon Trail set, and there was like the triple Oregon Trail, and I was like, I don't know, like Ruth was like, you're not gonna like that, and I was like, well, give it a go, it's fine. And initially my first sip I was like, oh, like, not that it was, the words bad aren't what come to my head, but it's just like, it's not to my taste, I don't really like that level of bitterness, it's too aggressive for me. But then like actually I find out of all the different types of flavors, bitterness for me, even though it's the most aggressive and like for me the most aggressive initially and what turns me off to something initially, I also find that it's one of the flavors that mellows out the most, like the quickest for me.
Yeah,
so I think while it was quite bitter at the start, I was like, oh, that's a bit bitter, it's mellowed out really quickly and quite nicely. So I do think that this is the type of beer I could sit in a pub and have quite a few. I think I could probably have quite a few of these in a row, as opposed to like some West Coast IPAs that I've had.
Yeah.
I think it is because of that dryness, and I feel like it would be a really good pub garden beer.
I'm interested to see what the other, so we've got two more listeners. I'm interested to see what the other two are like, because I don't think I personally could drink more than one of this. But that's because I'm like, you, in this you are getting that hop bitterness, that massive hop whack in your face, you know, that real dryness in there, and those are not my favorite characteristics of a beer. It's a well-made beer, it's not necessarily a beer for me.
It's difficult because I don't like bitterness per se, but I really like dryness when it comes, like I do tend to find that when there are beers that are quite like have that dry finish to it, I really tend to enjoy them. So I think that for me, because the bitterness has mellowed out, there are all these other things at play that I really enjoy. And I do actually, I know like Nelson can kind of be divisive in that some people really, really like the characteristics of it, and some people are really like, yeah, that's not for me. Probably not as divisive as like something like Sriracha or something like that. But like, I do think that...
Our good friend Sabro.
Yeah, that's divisive in its own way, but I do think like there are some people that's like, with Nelson you can either really enjoy it or really not like the beers that are made with it, and I tend to find that I do actually like how interesting Nelson makes certain, like like when you use Nelson in a style that you wouldn't typically use it, I tend to see that it makes it quite interesting. So yeah, I enjoy a good Nelson beer as well.
I'm not like, oh, I want to drink loads of this, but I am enjoying drinking what I've got, because I'm like, oh, that's a real, like, you get that hit of bitterness and then the hop characteristics and then that like lager base. I like the juxtaposition between those things. I'm finding really interesting as I drink it. So I'm glad that I did try it. I wouldn't drink several of them, but
I think,
you know, as a dark beer, you know, funky beer, not a IPA drinker. That's my perspective on it.
I think what's really interesting as well, though, is like when I say like, oh, I could have a few of these, I think it's just because it's so inoffensive as well. Like there's no big, even though we're talking about big hop characteristics, for me, I actually don't feel like there's, compared to...
Dippers.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I think compared to like the complexity of stuff that I tend to seek out now, and like what I really enjoy, and I look for the weird and wonderful, and I like, if I see something that is like, that I can tell is going to be complex AF, I'm like, that's what I'm going for. Whereas I think in the terms of like complexity, like this is, there's so many inoffensive flavors to me in this that it's, it for me, it lands in like quite a neutral, like more of a neutral way. Like there's obviously very clearly flavors there, but there's not this like massive depth of flavors to unpick. And I don't say that in a negative, bad way. I'm saying that in it, for me, it lands quite inoffensive that I could sit and have a bunch. That being said, I think if I went up to the bar, and there was like a bunch of stuff on that I was like, oh, this is a tough like bar selection. A West Coast Pilsner in general, regardless of like who's made it, is probably not the first thing that I was gonna, that I would pick out to have per se. Unless it was all like pale ales and IPAs and dippers and stuff like, then I probably would, because it is something a bit different. But it wouldn't be the first thing that I would necessarily pick out. And I think if somebody came back, like being really transparent, if somebody came back to the bar, back from the bar with one of these and said, oh, try a sip of this, and I had taken one, maybe two sips of it, to make a decision of if I wanted to get it. So this is kind of the problem, not to like diverge from the topic, but it's kind of the problem with people when they go and they ask for samples and rating based, like rating on tap based on like two sip samples. If I had just a sip or two of this, I probably could, I couldn't definitively say that I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to go back and get a whole half of this, because I think for me, it just, I'd be like, oh, it's too bitter and it's not landing in the right way for me. Yeah. It's only taken like, this glass for me to kind of go, yeah actually it's quite more, it's more Moorish than I realized. Like it almost becomes Moorish at a point that you all of a sudden go, oh yeah, okay, I could have another sip of that. And I think it, like I said, it's that bitterness and that dryness that I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I could have another sip. And that's why I think like I could sit there and have a few glasses. But I also say that as a person that doesn't really order pints at the bar, I order like halves, because I'd rather have halves where they stay cold and I can sip on it casually than have like a whole pint. That's just, I'll have the same amount of beer, but in halves. So for me, that's why I say I could probably have a bunch of them before I switched, because I could probably have a bunch of halves before I went, yeah, okay, let's try something different.
Yeah. And I mean, and that's the thing, isn't it? Sometimes your palate needs to warm up to what you're tasting. So bear that in mind, listeners, when you're trying things. Should we try the next one?
Yeah, let's do that.
Our next one is a West Coast Pilsner. I like that they're just called West Coast Pilsner.
I love how you're like, and up next, we just had West Coast Pilsner.
No, just West Coast Pilsner. I mean, that one was called Ricochet. This is just called West Coast Pilsner. And this is North with Left-Handed Giant. Oh, yeah, because look, it's the Left-Handed Giant person.
It sure is. did you just spot that?
I just wrote that out, yeah. So it's like, you know, North can, listeners. And then it's got like,
if you're watching the video,
geometric
you can...
shapes are in the shape of the Left-Handed Giant man's face. Not a whole lot of information on there, so we'll just have to open it and see how we go.
All right, let's do it. I'm ready with the kitchen roll, ready to go.
This one's not got such a big aroma out of the can.
To be fair, for me, it's equal aroma for me. But at least this one didn't go all
this
over the place.
This one's nice and clear.
It is, and there's like a really good head pour on mine.
Yeah, I've got a massive head on mine. Like two fingers, more than two fingers.
Whoa. There we go, me too. I feel like this, to me, aroma-wise, does have more of like a lagery type aroma comparatively to the Ricochet.
Let me see if I can find out any more info about this bad boy. See, on Untappd, it just comes under Pilsner Other. Not even Untappd has West Coast Pilsner as a thing. So, according to Untappd, and apparently the North website as well, it's been far too long since we brewed with our friends at Left-Handed Giant. 4 years, in fact. A lot's changed since then. We've moved to Springwell. They've opened their beautiful brew pub in Bristol. One of our favourite beers to come from their brew pub is their West Coast Pils. So check out, see if the Left-Handed Giant Brew Pub's got West Coast Pils on. Everyone loves Pils now, so the saying goes, and West Coast is the best coast. So here we're combining our Springwell Pils recipe with our West Coast Pils recipe. It's got Centennial, Mittelfruit, Citra, Amarillo, Amarillo Cryo. It's light, bright, zesty, crisp. It's got a touch of bitterness and it's absolutely beautiful. So there's quite a few kind of citrusy hops in there.
Yeah, the T90s.
And I am not getting that on. Oh, that's a good talking point. Thank you for pointing that out. So
you're welcome.
Come to that in a second.
Obviously the exception being the Amarillo Cryo. So there's Amarillo T90 and there's Amarillo Cryo.
Yeah. I mean, there's some big old citrusy hops in there and I'm not getting a big old citrusy around.
Well, I get citrus, but I get it very delicately and very light compared to what you expect from what's in there.
And I find it interesting that both of the ones that we've had have had a noble hop addition. We don't know which noble hop was in West Coast Pilsner. They just said it had noble hops. Mittelfruit is in this one.
I feel like there's a touch of like sweetness in the aroma as well. It's mostly like, it's there.
I'm almost getting a little bit of floral.
See, I get a tiny, for me, there's like a tiny, 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 when you search for it, bit of sweetness. And it's almost a little bit like a delicate sweetness, like a peach or something.
All right. Yeah. All right. Should we taste it?
Sure.
Oh, yep. There's bitterness.
Interesting.
That is different from the last one.
It is. Sip one, and this is why we don't trust sip one, because we'll see what happens as it develops. But sip one is definitely, the bitterness is far more aggressive than the Siren one. But the Siren bitterness hit me first. This was very much back end of the sip as I was finishing it. And what is like, for me, what's lasting in my mouth is like this really aggressive, deep like bitterness.
See, that I got that bitterness straight away and it is still lingering on my tongue now. Like, but I then get that like light Pilsner rounded softness of the malt afterwards. And I'm getting that floral note again.
I'm not getting floral, but I am definitely getting sort of like that Pilsner element to it. But the bitterness is so, for me, like I said, I'm sure that as I continue to drink it, it will sort of even itself out because that's what my taste buds do. But it is really quite like very aggressively bitter.
Yeah, it's very bitter. But having said that, I feel like I could drink more of this one because I feel like it's got less, like, even though we were like, the Siren one hasn't got as much complexity as, you know, something else, I feel like this one has even less complexity. So it makes it very simple to drink.
It's too hard for me to say at the moment because for me I almost feel that this one is, I don't not like it because I feel like I could drink it, but I feel the exact opposite. I feel this one feels, the only way for me to describe it in terms of how it's making me feel with the taste from just two sips, so I'll give it some leniency, it's heavier and it's gassier. So I think I'd struggle to drink quite as much. It feels a little bit more like carbonated, more crisp than the other one. I think the other one was lighter. So for me, it would be easier to drink Ricochet in a larger quantity than I think this one. But this one feels like heartier is how I said. So I feel like if I were having say like pretzels, like if I was having a nice warm pretzel and some cheese dip, this is probably what I'd want with it as opposed to the Siren beer.
Yeah, I can see that. Like, I think that bitterness will clean the palate when you're eating things, so I think that I think it needs pairing with something. I don't think I'd want to just sit and drink it on its own.
Agree. I think the Ricochet feels like I could have more snack. Like, this is to put it in the food lover
You know, you sense, love talking about snacks.
I do. I feel like Ricochet is one that I could have snacks with. Like, I could kind of have whatever snack with. This feels like it has to be very purposefully paired with something. Yeah. It just feels hardier. It feels more robust. It feels like, for me, I just feel like I could probably drink less of it. But this bitterness now has definitely died down. The intensity of how it's hitting me has definitely died down, and it's kind of mellowed out. Like I said, it mellows out quite quick for me on those. I could probably drink more than I thought at the start, but
yeah,
it just depends on my vibes, I guess. If it's cold out, I probably want this one more. If it's if it's warmer out, I probably want Ricochet more, because I feel like okay. this one's going to warm me more than Ricochet is. What's the ABV on this one? 5.8%. So, okay, I'm sorry. Like, that is, again.
Yeah, that's not less than an IPA, is it?
No.
Again, as I said, there are no style guidelines for this, so people are doing what they fancy. So, going back to our article from Craft Beer and Brewing, the 2023 World Beer Cup had some guidelines that included the almost brand new contemporary American style Pilsner subcategory. So this kind of, this is the category that they put West Coast Pilsners into for the 2023 Beer World Cup, World Beer Cup.
I feel like I picture, like a foosball table, but like with beers, like different beers instead of players. And they're like, and it's like, they have to face off against each other, and they're like, the West Coast Pilsners win.
So the interesting thing is, it also says that the Brewers Association first introduced that subcategory in 2020, but COVID cancellations limited its deployment. Now, I went and had a look at the Brewers Association just to see if I could find find some guidelines in there, because they tend to update quicker than BJCP does. And I read the contemporary American style Pilsner guide, like brief guidelines, and I don't think it covered a West Coast Pilsner, so take that as you will.
So the lie detector determined that was a lie. It's what you're telling me.
Yeah, I think that's not true. But so that's, so the contemporary American style Pilsner is nested under American style Pilsner, but it diverges from beers made in a pre-prohibition style because it allows a broader spectrum of hop aroma and flavor. Which is what we're expecting from a West Coast Pilsner, right? But, I mean, it's still not necessarily in there. And there's a nice quote in here from Jen Blair. I love our Jen. When they were writing this, she was an advanced Cicerone. She is now a master Cicerone.
Yay!
Go, Jen! I've been following. I'm so glad that she got a master Cicerone. If you are interested in sensory and, you know, defining flavors and thinking about your palate and things like that, Jen is the person to follow. So go find Jen Blair. She's under the Gemfluence, and she's also the co-host of False Bottomed Girls, which is another ladies beer podcast, so go and give them a listen as well. But so she was a judge at the 2023 World Beer Cup, and she said the guidelines are more of a reflection of what brewers are doing rather than dictating what the style parameters should be. It's more, here's what we're seeing brewers do. So we're now also seeing that style guidelines are being dictated by brewers again. So, you know, again,
I'm not mad about it.
We're not. Things get shaped by consumers. Things get shaped by brewers. Brewer's going to brew.
It's
consumer's going to drink. Here we are.
It is that thing, though, of like, I think guidelines are really good.
Yeah.
Until it almost becomes a hindrance that like, I think they're really good for giving somebody the guide of what to expect. I think they become a problem when people like literally don't allow for any interpretation by how somebody wants to or like be creative with it. And like, that's what I think is like, that's when it stifles it. And I'm on the side of like, brewer's gonna brew, because I'm like, I like the creativity. I like that aspect of it. But I really think like the guidelines in place is good to be able to be like, what should I be aiming for and what would I be expecting? But yeah, I'm all for brewer's gonna brew.
Yeah. And Jen said that she quite likes the West Coast IPA. She said, if I can have something lighter, crisper, less bitter, but with some of the same hop profiles. I like that's the best of both worlds. I would say these ones that we've had so far are not less bitter, personally.
No, but they are lighter
and crisper.
Even on this North and Left-Handed Giant one, it kind of said like a touch of bitterness. I think that's a bit more than I think. It's a bit more than a touch of. I feel like it's more than a touch of bitterness. Again, my palate's adjusted to it now, so it's all right. Like, having another sip of it, I think it's all right. Like, it's not too aggressive as it was in the first two sips. But, like, to say it's a touch, like, when I think of a touch of bitterness, I just go, ooh, that's something that I can just about make out, but it's not like the front runner of all the flavors there. And I think for me, it is still very much like one of the boldest tasting notes of this beer.
Yeah, I think so.
Definitely that crispness though.
Yeah. So I thought it was interesting that you pointed out that this one had cryo T90s. So just a little recap, listeners, if you've missed any of our talk about hops. Hops, like, you know, the hop shape that you see when, you know, you like see a hop on things, like all the little leaves and things. That's a whole leaf because you've got all the leaves in it. T90 is then where that has been dried and processed and put into a little pellet. 90% of the vegetal matter is still there. You also get T45 where there's less. Then there's enriched pellets where more of like the lupulin, that's the really important stuff. It's like the oils and the essential oils and the good stuff, all the aroma stuff that we want from the hops. You want all of that in so that gets can be added into an enriched pellet, so it still comes from the hops but it's extracted and then added into it, so you get even more of that good stuff. And then you can get liquid hops, so you get even less vegetal matter because it's just all the good stuff extracted and you've got none of that vegetal matter at all. So the brewers that I was reading about with this style have said that like these new hop technologies, our enriched pellets, our liquid products, are really helping to refine the style because you want those big punchy aromas and flavors, but they're doing it through dry hopping on a base that there's nowhere, you know, as we know from lagers, there's nowhere to hide in a lager. You're really tasting those ingredients. So whereas, you know, a sweeter malt or a different yeast can kind of add and mask things in other styles, in this, if you want those big flavors, if you've got a lot of vegetal matter in there, you can start to taste that vegetal, you can start getting hop creep and things like that, and then you're getting flavors that you don't want other than, you know, the really lovely ones that come from these hops. The vegetal matter can add that in. So if you're doing a dry hop with lots of whole leaf T90 pellets, you can end up, you know, if you don't do it right, there is the risk of getting these vegetal flavors. With an enriched pellet, that doesn't happen as much. With liquid hops, there's like no chance of that happening because you've got no vegetal matter. Also, you don't lose any beer because there's nothing to soak it up, so it's way better for the brewers anyway.
Sustainable,
exactly, especially in this time of rising costs, you can sell more beer. And so the brewers from Highland Park Brewery who did the first one have said that, you know, Cryo, Lupimax and Incognito are actually, that's a liquid product, are actually the things that are helping to refine this style. So I thought that was really interesting that this style is being shaped by hop technologies rather than just what the brewers want to brew, like the palates, like what consumers want to drink. Yes, it's what consumers want to drink, but they're really being able to dial in what they want from those hops because of these hop technologies. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, that is really interesting.
Yeah.
When I called out the T90s, I was just like, oh, I want to be really clear that they've used it. I didn't even realise that there was like a whole section just for that. Like that just, I just literally saw, oh, it's T90, that's interesting.
Yeah, so I thought that was really interesting. But yeah, so that's pretty much all the information I've got about a West Coast Pils, to be honest. There's a lot more. If you are a home brewer or a brewer and want to kind of drill into some of the real, you know, real statistics of this. There is some stuff in this article from Craft Beer and Brewing, so it is in the show notes. Go and check it out. Go and have a little read of it. You can find some more information there.
I imagine people really do want to like homebrew it, because I feel like one reason this might be quite popular is I feel like, especially when you're far enough in your craft beer journey, as we always say, you kind of like come back around to lagers. Like it all circles back around to lagers. And I do feel like West Coast, especially in the last, like, I'd say the last 2 years in particular, there's been this like massive, like, West Coast is the best coast and like love away. Like, I feel like particularly 2023, maybe the end of 2022, all of 2023 and going into 2024, it's very like West Coast, best coast. People are loving a West Coast IPA. People are like hunting down the West Coast style of beer wherever possible. Like Russian River, people are like, I will pay whatever I can to get that Russian River. Like, right. That is, they really, really want West Coast. Like, you've got so many breweries like specializing in West Coast styles. And I don't think it's not surprising to me that a West Coast style lager would do really well. Like, yeah. I feel like that is something that people, you know, I feel like people would really gravitate towards that, just because it's taking two things that I think people really, really enjoy. And it blends well together, unlike when you have two things that are very like opposite that maybe like don't work well together.
Yeah.
These do, the flavor profiles of them do work, seem to work quite well together. So yeah, it's not really a shock to me. And I feel like as a home brewer, that's something that you can do. Like, it's not always easy and accessible to make something funky and crazy and wild in your own house. I feel like this is something that you can do that is like a little bit more interesting from the traditional like norms, that can still be a little bit more interesting. So I feel like I wouldn't be shocked if there's lots of people homebrewing, like wanting to make these beers.
Yeah, I should think so. And it's like, and it wouldn't be necessarily that difficult to make, she says, because you can just,
I was gonna say that, but I was like, I say that as a non, like, as a non home brewer.
You can make a lager base and then you're dry hopping it, so it's choosing the right combination of hops for what you want to get across the flavors that you want, and then, you know, you can dry hop at home, and you can get as a home brewer, you can get enriched pellets, you can get liquid hops, like those are available to home brewers. So
how difficult is it as a home brewer to get sort of like liquid product? Like, is it for a home brewer, is it more, I'm just like, you saying that makes me think, like, is it cost effective for a home brewer, or is that a type of product that might be like a little bit more on the expensive end if you are a home brewer, and maybe you have to be more of an experienced home brewer to be using like liquid hop products?
I mean, they are more expensive, but you put less in than you do pellets. And they come in homebrew sizes. Like, there's 20-gram sachets available.
Oh, right.
Maltmiller does them. Shout out to our buds at the Maltmiller. They've got Incognito and Spectrum, so in various different hop varieties, so yeah, you can have a go. And I was at a homebrew meetup a couple of Christmases ago, and the brewers were saying, and the homebrewers there were saying, oh yeah, I've tried Incognito, I've tried Spectrum, yeah, you know, people had already been trying them. Like, yeah, you can just give it a go.
Interesting. Well, should we have the third and final?
Let's. So we've been saying that, you know, West Coast Pils is the new hotness. So our next beer is a low alcohol beer, also one of the current hotness trends at the moment from Mash Gang. So we've got Cold Coast, low alcohol West Coast Pils. It's 0.5%. I'm interested to see how this one comes out.
I'm excited because I, for many reasons, hilariously, I was speaking to my manager today at work about like low alcohol beer, and I told her, I was like, oh, Mash Gang are the ones to have, like, consistently, like, they consistently smash it out the park with low ABV beers. And
not only that, like, they last for so long. Like, I had numerous ones that I found at the back of my cupboard that I was like, oh, I say the back of my cupboard, the back of my fridge, because they were actually yes. in my fridge. And that's why in the beer fridge that I don't really go to that often. And then I was like, oh, those are, like, I did a clear out and I went, oh, and I was expecting them to not that I was expecting them to be bad by any means, but I was expecting it to be like, fuck, I've left it way too long, because they were like quite past best before. And I like cracked one expecting to have a bit and just go, nope. I drank the whole thing. I was like, this is really good. To the point that I outed myself. I outed myself on Instagram because I was like, I need people to know how amazing it is that this is so far past its best before date and it still tastes amazing. And then I was like, you know what? I'll have another one because it's like low alcohol anyway. So I had like another one and I was like, it was just like banger after banger of ones that were like so far past their best before date. And I was literally shocked at how good they were. And I think, like, I'm not saying every single one that I've ever had has been like top tier my favorite by any means.
Yeah.
But I think Mash Gang, like, I think I'm going to put in another order. Like, I'm going to put in an order direct with Mash Gang because they've got like a cinnamon bun one, like a cinnamon bun
that's
stout.
Got your name all over it.
And they've got like a whole bunch of, they've got like a, yeah, like a collab with Vault City where it's like a rocket pop, like popsicle one. And they've got like, their sours are amazing. Like, they just do such an amazing job. So I'm really excited to see what they do with this style. What I will say, like, what makes me nervous is, like, I tend to, the ones I've really liked from them have all been like the fruity and the sour and the stouts, and like, which are actually arguably the harder, like, in some ways, yeah, the harder ones to get right.
Yeah.
Especially the stouts. Whereas, like, yeah, I think I've not had too many of their like normal. So, like, I do kind of worry that I'm like, oh, I'm going to have it. And I've got these really high expectations. And I'm going to be like, oh, it's right.
Bar set very high.
But I love their artwork on everything as well. So, like, if you're watching the video, like, absolutely love their artwork. They are very me in terms of like the style of their labels and everything else.
This is a very like nautical tattoo type image. Like, it's got the swallow and there's a sinking ship and there's a rose and there's some, you know, nautical rope. Quite good, quite like it. So I found it interesting on the back of this one. Crispy yet hoppy. A crisp pilsner, double dry hopped with Pacific Northwest buds. An American spin on a German beer made in England. Interested, I was like, what Pacific Northwest buds, people? So I've gone and had a look.
What are them buds, sir?
what are those buds, sir? So they've used their Stoop base, which is one of their lagers. And then they put 10 grams per litre of double dry hop of Citra, Centennial, Chinook, Cascade and Amarillo. So, like, almost all the sea hops and some Amarillo.
All the seas.
So, and they describe it as, so you have the crisp, refreshing lager experience with a spicy kick of West Coast hops. Now, when you think about that, it does sound quite nice, right? This beer tastes like, yeah, can I get another one of those, please, mate?
Does that what it actually says?
That's what it actually says.
I was waiting for you. I was like, you definitely didn't just make that up, right? Like,
I've just read that off of the details.
Interesting.
Brilliant. Right, let's crack this then. Okay. See if it is. Yeah, can I get another one of these, please, mate?
Let's see. I did say to my manager, I was like, if you order them and you don't like them, please don't like hold that against me. But, you know, it's because her partner was getting like low ABV Guinness and said apparently out of all of them, that was like the one that was not so bad. And I was like, oh, well, I can actually recommend you some really good, like,
can I interest you in low some alcohol.
May I interest you in Mash Gang? And then she looked at it and was like, the Brandon's wicked. She's up in Nottingham and she's like, the Brandon's wicked and this and that. I was like, well, I happen to know they have some at Suds and Soda for when you go to our office in Derby.
It's not as smack you in the face as the Siren one on the aroma.
No.
It's pretty clear.
It is. So this is what I'm really worried about, is looking at the visual of it and the smell of it.
It's a much
I'm worried.
Colour, right?
I'm worried that it's going to land in the same way as some of the non-alcoholic beers do that I don't tend to enjoy. And I'm worried that it's like almost it's like when you keep it for a longer time is when they cut. Like, I think because I've had so many that have been sat for so long that I'm like really worried that I'm like, what if I don't like a brand new one and I need to let it sit and mellow for at least 9 to 12 months.
Oh god. I can smell the Pilsner malt in this. And there's almost like a lime.
Yes, I was going to say lime. Pop. I was going to say lime.
But also I'm getting like a bit spicy. Like
a little bit of zestiness to that. Light. It smells like it's going to be really light.
Yeah. Right,
you
ready?
Yeah, now's a better time than ever. Cheers.
It is definitely light.
Hmm.
I'm not getting as much bitterness on this one as the other two. It's more earthy.
Yeah.
Earthy, spicy hop.
I definitely get spicy hop.
I had to have this conversation the other day because someone was doing a visual for us and they were doing a visual of spicy and they put flames.
No. That's misleading.
It's not. Well, I was like, right. So I was like, cool. Looks great. It's spicy. It's not spicy heat.
Is that it's someone that spicy. Doesn't necessarily drink a lot of that type of beer themselves?
Yeah. So, because they've just been told spicy. And so when you think spicy, like if you're not a beer drinker or a hot person, you're, flames because spicy. No.
That's what I was going to say.
It's spiced, cinnamon, nutmeg, earthy. Yeah, that kind of, peppery. That kind of spice, not heat.
The spice. Second you were like, oh, there's like little flames, I was like, this is someone that doesn't necessarily, not like doesn't drink beer, but doesn't get into sort of like the nerdy tasting note side, I would hazard a guess. Like, and there's no shade in that. I don't mean that in a shady way. I mean, in the sense of if you don't know. And I think that's also like, to go back to something that we've talked about in like Brave Noise episodes and stuff like that as well, like that, like, I wanted to be really clear, like that's not a shady thing that I was saying. It was an assumption I was making, because I think if you hear someone say that out and about at a bar, it's all how someone says it to you. So like if somebody says like, oh, this is like spicy, like in the sense of spiced, and then you take a sip of that and then go, well, that's not hot at all or anything like that. Like, and people take the piss out of you for that or something. You then almost feel like, well, I don't want to try again. And I don't want to it's too complicated. I don't want to get into it. So yeah, I could just tell that that was someone that probably hadn't gotten to the nerdier side of it. There's no problem with that at all.
And it's your frame of reference of what you understand spicy.
Absolutely.
Be. Like, as well, like people's frame of rich reference of citrus can be different.
Yes.
People's frame of reference of tropical can be different. We all have tried different cuisines. We're all used to different cuisines and different flavors and aromas and things. It's what your frame of reference is. But yeah, I just thought that was interesting, because I mean, I think if you do generally, if you were to say spicy in just a general context, people would think spicy heat.
Absolutely. And that's how when I say it in a non-beer in a non-beer context, that's exactly what I mean. When I say I'm feeling spicy today, it's like I'm feeling like I'm gonna go tear someone a new one because I'm feeling a bit spicy.
So it's different. But so I like when I'm describing things, when I'm talking about spice in beer, I am conscious that there is that, that you need to clarify that understanding. So I'll be like spicy heat or spicy hop, which is not the same as heat. Because if you've got heat in beer, that's a mouthfeel and it's going to be coming from added chili of some sort or capsicum of some sort, rather than spiced.
I think I tend to say spiced. Like, I think spiced. My brain, like sometimes I go, oh, spicy, but then my
spicy
brain will.
Spiced.
I'll tend to say spiced. I would never, like, my vocabulary would never be spicy hop. I would say spicy and then I go, like, in a spiced way. And then if I were talking to somebody that maybe wouldn't have known.
And I differentiate in that way with spicy hop because I feel like spicy hop is, again, different from spices. Like, it's different from, like, pepper or cinnamon or nutmeg or whatever. Like spicy hop is it's difficult to really explain what it is other than it being spicy hop. Like you just know what spicy hop is when you've drunk that sort of thing. Like it's kind of earthy, it's kind of dusty, it's kind of, you know, like dusty makes it sound gross, but that's, you know,
dusty does make it sound gross. I'm not gonna lie,
like, it makes it sound gross, but that's not, but this is why it's difficult to explain what that is.
If somebody did like describe any other drink as like, oh, it's a bit dusty, I'd be like, get that away from me, that's disgusting. Like, I'd be like, disgusting, no thank you, don't want it.
And like, and resin can kind of give you that little bit of spiced stuff as well, you know, so yeah, it's difficult. But, you know, anyway, this is like hop spice rather than
spice, like I said, tea. That's like, I feel like
back to the point.
to go back to like the exact opposite of what I said, of like, well, I was like, oh, this could be a barrier for entry for people that can make people feel like they don't want to get into it anymore. I'm like, and now I'm like, oh, I got you. Like, this is definitely a if you know, you know situation. Like, spicy hop, if you know, you know. If you don't know, that's okay. But
yeah.
That's like, I'm not, I don't want to create, this is a West Coast Pilsner. It is sort of like a West Coast IPA, but also is a lager.
Exactly. And once again, listeners, we leave you with more questions than answers. You're welcome.
I think I've got the other one that we bought at Siren, which was a Siren collab.
Yeah.
With Mash Gang. And I think I might actually crack this open right now, if I'm honest, because...
Yeah, you're going to try it again.
Not sure I quite... Like, this one I don't think is to my taste. I think this is too light for my taste and what I like. Agree. I definitely can see, like, I know that there are people that are looking... Like, do I think it tastes like a beer? Like, yes, I do think it tastes like a beer. Yeah. I think it would scratch an itch for somebody that has a particular taste in beer. Like, they would enjoy this. It's not it's not the taste that I gravitate to. And I think the Mash Gang that I really enjoy tends to not be these type of ones. Not that they're not good. I've had really good ones that are like the pale ales or the lagers or whatever. But this one is just one that I think for the flavor profiles of it don't align with the flavor profiles that I tend to like. But I'm curious of what they've done in this other West Coast Pilsner.
I feel like this as well, it tastes more pale ale-y to me than West Coast Pilsner from the other ones that we've had.
I know we've not.
From the descriptions that I've read about West Coast Pilsners, but also we've said that, you know, you can do whatever you like with West Coast Pilsner. So
there is definitely a bitterness there, like for sure. It's almost like on some level, I do feel like there is kind of some lime notes that are coming through. And I think it almost, we've not done the style yet, but like almost in a way kind of reminds me of like a Mexican lager in some ways of some of these tasting notes, not all of them, but it's like there's nothing that I feel like it lands on that I go, oh, it's definitely 100% this or it's definitely 100% that. There's like little elements of a few different things that I'm getting. I just think, like, I definitely know people that would enjoy this one. I really like the artwork on it. I think tasting notes wise for my taste buds, it's not the ones that I gravitate towards, but I think that's just because it's lighter than what I think, especially after the last two where they were just more like full in terms of like some of these flavors, that it maybe isn't a fair comparison having like two proper like alcohol ones, nearly 6%, and then like jumping down to 0.5.
it really reminded me of another beer, and I think it's kind of it's giving me memories of like a limey on cask pale ale from like a Kent brewery. I don't know which one, I can't remember which beer it is, but I'm getting like strong reminiscent feels from it.
I can see that, and I can see when you're thinking about like cask, like something.
It's not as
cask
carbonated as the other ones we've had today either, so.
Yeah, I think, and when I'm talking about like the lime notes as well, like if you had it, you probably wouldn't be like, that's so aggressively lime flavor, because it's not like someone's chucked like lime cordial in it. I think it's just something that it's because like there's definitely bitterness and there's definitely like this lingering, probably some people might pick it up as citrus. I'm very much like that is lime for me. Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to get another glass because I want to know how this other one's going to taste. Bear with me. Hold the line, Collar. Have some water just to clear the palate. And right. going to crack this open and see where we get to.
What's this one called?
It's just so
called
this West one Coast Pills. Is Out of Nowhere, Low Alcohol West Coast Pills. So this says West Coast Pilsners are all about clean, crisp drinking with snappy bitterness in collaboration with No Low Heroes Mash Gang. Their beer aims to achieve just that with the added benefit of also being just 0.5%. Taking a traditional German lager base, we use Citra, Idaho 7 and Nelson Sauvin in the dry hop for fruit cocktail aromas of pineapple, peach and white grape. Interesting, because I almost feel like that's pineapple, peach and white grape are not what I would say about West Coast. So
no, but I mean, you know, once again, brewers are using whatever hops they like.
Yeah, no shade, no hate. I liked the other one that had, I mean, I love Idaho 7. Citra's good. I feel like Citra's standard, so like I kind of feel Citra's like standard. I feel like Citra's so standard that it's just like so neutral to me in terms of like I'm like, yeah, it's fine, it's there, it's great. Idaho 7, really, really like Idaho 7, and as we said, Nelson, I really like a bit of Nelson, so I'm gonna see how this comes out. So let me just top up the other one so I can look at the. This one's definitely like a little bit hazier. But similar, like similar color profiles, but just a little bit hazier. Heads are right on it as well. It has less of like a limey, sweet, spiced sort of like theme to it. There's almost a bit more like, I want to say maybe guava-y. But I think it's the Nelson. I don't know how to, like, I don't know how to describe it because the way my brain picks it up, I'm like, oh, like it wants to go immediately to guava, but I don't think it is. I think it's the Nelson. All right, I'm gonna have a sip. I enjoy it. West Coast Pilsner, it is not. Like, I understand. I understand there's no rules, break the, like, you know, you gotta know the rules, break the rules and everything.
Break the rules,
Would I say that this is a West Coast Pilsner? No. Would I say it tastes like a beer? Yes. It's probably more like pale ale territory to me again. Let me have another sip. It's definitely like really dry. Like there's like not really dry, but there's quite a dryness to it.
Doing that again.
Yeah, I think it's the Nelson. Yeah. I would, if I had to hazard a guess, yes. I think that's maybe what they mean about the white grape.
Yeah.
Peach and pineapple, I don't really get so much. Okay. But that's okay, because that's kind of not what I was wanting. Anyways, I would almost say there's a little bit more, like, grapefruity type. And I don't know if it's just because, like, I tend to, my brain tends to scramble grapefruit and, like, guava in the aroma sense. And so I don't know if, like, because I picked up that smell, that's now it's, like, kind of what I'm looking for and expecting to have. So my brain's kind of gone, that's what you have. But I think that you could serve this to someone, and if you told them it was 0.5%, they'd be like, oh, really? Like, I think they would expect it to be table beer, but not 0.5% table beer, if that makes sense.
Interesting.
Be interested to see your thoughts on it. I think there's definitely, the more I'm drinking it, the more that there's definitely like a noticeable bitterness.
Yeah.
But I feel like it lands more as like a low alcohol West Coast pale than a Pilsner.
Yeah.
But I definitely, I think I prefer this one over the other Mash Gang one. So
yeah.
Just in the sense of, I think this fits the mold more for my personal taste buds and what I am looking for than the other one does.
So, out of the West Coast Pills, which one is your favourite?
Oh, I mean, to be honest, I need to taste the other two again really quick. But, like, this Siren Mash Gang collab, as much as I'm kind of going, yes, right, I'm feeling it, I feel very, like, neutral about it, it's quite Moorish, and I keep kind of going back
even
for more.
Even though you say it's probably not really a West Coast, Pills now.
Yeah, but I keep going back for another sip, and I think it's that dryness again that I'm like, yeah, I'll have another sip of it. Which one do I like most? It's close, but I think I like the Siren. I think it's that Nelson.
Okay.
I think I really like that Nelson. It just feels, I think for me, it's just a bit lighter and a bit, for me, a bit easier drinking. Not the other one's difficult. It's not a challenge. That's not what I mean. Yeah. But you know what I mean by easier drinking.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's low alcohol. I keep going back to it. Which one's your favourite?
I like the North and Left-Handed Giant one. There's just something about the combination of the bitterness and the rounded malt character, and there's just whatever this floral note that I'm getting, I'm really enjoying those. Like, it's kind of those three things: bitterness, floral, malt character, and that's it. And I quite like that.
Can't argue that.
Yeah. Right. Well, there you go, listeners. Once again, we haven't really answered your questions.
But I don't think we're really here to answer your questions. I think we're here to just drink some West Coast Pilsners.
Yeah, and say go try them yourself, I think. You know, I think we're gonna see more of these this year. So if you see one, go grab it, give it a taste, see what you think. Because at the minute we've got no real brackets to hold it in place. People can do what they like with it, so.
Which I actually, you know what? I'm in favour of that.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm pro not having brackets to put it into. Just having an idea and letting people make that idea be what they want it to be. I like that. I'm in support of that. That is my jam.
Tori, if people can suggest some West Coast Pilsners that they've enjoyed to you, where can they get hold of you?
Yeah, if you want to suggest some West Coast Pilsners for me, you can find me on Instagram at adventures_in_hoptimism, or you can email me at adventuresinhoptimism@gmail.com. If you want to talk to both of Joe and I and you want to tell us that either our opinions are wrong or you want to learn more or you really want to talk about the Mash Gangs, come talk to us about the Mash Gangs if you've tried them and you really enjoy them. Talk to us about spicy. Like, would you use flames? Yeah. How would you say spicy? If you know, you know. Come on. Come and message us. We are A Women's Brew on Facebook and Instagram. We mostly live on Instagram, if we're honest. We're also on X, but like, we really don't live on there. Facebook. On Facebook, Joe will probably get you. On Instagram, depending on the day, I will probably get you. And then you can email us at awomensbrewpodcast@gmail.com. So yeah, go talk to us. Come give us your thoughts. Try some Mash Gang. Let me convince you to buy some Mash Gang. And yeah, happy days. Joe, if people want to learn more about where you got this information from, where can they come and talk to you about it?
I mean, I'm going to put that in the show notes so you can just go there, but you can come talk to me about it if you want. You know what? We haven't had anyone disagree with us in quite some time.
I'll take it.
Everything's been quite plain sailing lately, so that's quite nice.
It's because we're never wrong, and I said this when I had to switch over to a MacBook at work, and they said, oh, but you lose the delete key. And I was like, well, that's good. I don't need it. I'm never wrong. They were like, touche. And okay. I was like,
all right. I mean, mine's got a delete key, so I don't know what that
means. Not the backspace, but the actual physical delete button.
Okay. Fine. I don't need that anyway.
We're not wrong. That's why.
You can find me, if you'd like to talk to me, about delete buttons, if you'd like. I am at my beer school, which is Love Beer Learning, and I am on Facebook, Instagram, X, TikTok and Pinterest. But really, you're going to find me on Instagram. Come over and say hello. You can come to my website where I have just published a blog post about American IPA, which is arguably a West Coast. You can find out about the actual IPA that this is based on over there on my website, which is lovebelearning.co.uk. Or you can email me, lovebelearning@gmail.com. Right.
Just showing off now with your blog post. Yeah, let's go finish these beers. Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.